Father and our God, we now commit this time into thy holy hands. Be thou glorified, our Father, as thy word is declared. Bless, my Father, the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. After a long day of preaching, I usually unwind by sitting with my family and catching a movie. And whenever we are watching a movie and we come to sections of the movies that the action seems dull, we just take the remote control and fast forward the movie to a more interesting section. And we usually can go through a 2-hour movie in less than 1 hour. But while the act of fast-forwarding a movie to get to more interesting part might be appropriate for a movie, it is dangerous to try to fast-forward things in real life. It is dangerous to try to bypass some things in life for the sake of personal fulfillment and pleasure. And unfortunately, this is exactly what so many people are trying to do today in our modern world. There is a strong distaste for delayed gratification and a great obsession for instant gratification in our modern world. Like Veruca Salt, the young lady from the movie Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, everybody, it seems, want everything right now. As one writer puts it, in a world where people are hungry for quick fixes, sound bites, for instant gratification, there is no patience for the long and slow rebuilding process. And the result has not been disappointing, to say the least. The proliferation of destructive behavior due to instant gratification have given rise to spike in crime, incarceration, especially among our young people, substance abuse, the opioid crisis, broken lives, broken homes, mental health struggles, financial difficulties, and even suicide. You know, loved ones, the writing is definitely on the wall. Instant gratification does not deliver what it promises. Instead of personal fulfillment and pleasure, it brings dissolution and emptiness. Now, the Bible is not oblivious of this problem of instant gratification. The Bible not only teaches about it, but it also gives us real-life examples of the destructive nature of instant gratification. And one of those places we find this real-life example is in the book of Genesis, in the story of Esau and Jacob. And from this story this morning, I'm going to draw out some spiritual truths that I believe is going to help each one of us to understand the dynamics of instant gratification and also how to gain victory. This is what is going to bring me to Genesis chapter 25. Now, let me set this in context so you can understand this chapter. At this point, Abraham, the patriarch, died. And his son, Isaac, had married Rebekah. But like Sarah, Rebekah too had a nagging problem. And that problem was barrenness. Rebekah was unable to conceive. And we read here that Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife, Rebekah, verse 21. And the Lord answered, and Rebekah conceived twins in her womb. And then we read in verse 22 that the children struggle together within her. And she said, if it is so, why then am I this way? So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to Rebecca, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples will be separated from your body. And one people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. And when a days to be delivered was fulfilled, behold, she gave birth to twins. The first was the red, was red, and all his body was hairy, and he was called Esau. And holding on to the heels of Esau, right from the womb, was another boy, whom they called Jacob. And we read here in verse 27, that over time the boys grew up, and Esau became a hunter, and Jacob was just a peaceful man living in tents. In other words, Jacob was a homebody. So over time, the boys grew up. Esau became a hunter, and Jacob was just a peaceful man living in tents. In other words, he was a homebody. Now we read here that Isaac loved Esau because he had a taste for games, and Rebecca loved Jacob. By the way, parents, it is bad parenting. I need to pause here and make this observation. To pick favorites among your children. You know, regardless of their natural endowment or ability, you must always strive to love your children evenly. Picking sides not only create a toxic home, damaging your relationship with your child that is less favored, but also it creates sibling rivalry, a rivalry that will probably outlive you, impacting generations to come. Ironically, when you go to Genesis chapter 37, Jacob, when he became a father, adopted the same mindset with his family. He picked Joseph as his favorite, and this resulted in a toxic home, which eventually led to Joseph being kidnapped and sold into slavery in Egypt. Again, parents, I need to warn you here this morning, picking your favorite among your children is a disaster getting ready to happen. So let's go back to this text right here. This is where I'm going this morning. So in verse 29, we read that Jacob had cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and it was famished. Now, one of the natural inclination of the human body is that when we are hungry, we crave for food. But this craving is always intensified when we smell something good cooking on the stove. And I believe this must have been how Esau felt when he came home. Because when he came home, we're told that Jacob was cooking a stew, and the smell and the aroma must have intensified the hunger and the craving of Esau. Then Esau will say to Jacob, please let me have a swallow of that red stuff, for I'm famished. Now, from a brother to a brother, this is not a bad request. At least, that's what brothers do for each other to share. But Jacob here became very crafty, because Jacob gave Esau a condition before giving him something to eat. And what was the condition? Look at verse 31. He said to Esau, first sell me your birthright. Now, let's understand this notion of birthright. You know, birthright is a common practice within biblical times. It is the right of the first child to inherit the father's possession and the authority. You know, if you are a firstborn in biblical times, you by default can inherit or will inherit a vast majority of your father's possession and also his authority. Little or nothing comes to the second born, not to talk of the third or the fourth. Now, though they were twins, Esau, as we read earlier, was the first son that came forth from the womb, which made him the firstborn, giving Esau the birthright. Esau, in essence, had the right to the father's Isaac inheritance and his authority. So essentially, what Jacob was trying to say to Esau here was that they need to switch the order of their birth. That Jacob will now take the head as the firstborn, and Esau will be demoted to the secondborn. Now, if you did not have the privilege to read the next verse, you will probably conclude that Esau will say, absolutely no deal. And for Esau to now give that away for a plate of stew, you know, it is like asking to give up $1 million for an ice cream cone. You know, you will say, no deal. But again, I want you to go forth here. Because Esau will now say, in the next verse, verse 32, he said, behold, I'm about to die. So of what use then is the birthright? Let's pause for a minute here. Let's understand this verse. Now, while we know that people do die of hunger, but for most people, approximately 10 days is the average before they die of hunger. In rare cases, the process might even take several weeks, depending on their age and illness and nutritional status. But I know here that Esau had not been hungry for about 10 days. I will assume here that Esau had been hungry for at least some few hours. But what Esau did here was to exaggerate his condition. And in exaggerating his condition, he was more concerned about pacifying his cravings instantly than his birthright. Again, I think it's important to understand what's taking place in these verses. Esau was more concerned about pacifying his craving for food than about his birthright. This is the notion of instant gratification. So watch Jacob here. When Jacob saw this opening, Jacob, now being crafty, said to Esau, swear to me. We read, and Jacob and Esau swore to Jacob. You might say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Wallace, swear to him. Does that carry any weight? Yes, it does. In the ancient Near Eastern culture, their word was their bond. Unlike in our culture, where we can easily break our promises, in the ancient Near Eastern world, a person is liable for what they promise. So when Esau promised and took an oath here to swear, he became liable for what he have said. He became liable by saying to Jacob, Jacob, you are now the firstborn. I give you the birthright for this plate of stew. And by the way, it wasn't a pot of soup. It wasn't a whole pot. It was just a little plate, I will assume here. Because we read there that he gave Esau bread and lentil stew. He didn't give him the pot of stew. He gave him probably, Lord, just a little plate. And Esau ate and drank and rose and went on his way. And the Bible now says that Esau despised his birthright. So this morning, what spiritual truths can we now glean from this narrative? I want to pull out four critical things this morning. I want each one of you to understand. First of all, If you don't master your cravings will master you. You want to write that down. If you don't master your cravings will master you. You know, human craving is the primary catalyst for pursuing any form of gratification. You know, when we want something or we have an urge for something, our natural tendency is to seek fulfillment for that craving. And really, there is nothing wrong that when you desire to drink and you're thirsty, that you seek fulfillment to quench your thirst. There is nothing wrong that when you're hungry, that you seek fulfillment to quench your hunger. There is nothing wrong with that. But there are some things in life that require patience in order to achieve such craving. Because you might not be mature enough to receive it when you want it. You might not be ready to receive it when you want it. And this is the key. If you fail to now control and delay such gratification, you, your craving will now have mastery over you. In other words, you will now succumb to whatever cravings come your way because you're not mastering your craving. This is where self-control comes in. In this narrative, watch Esau. Though there was nothing wrong in the fact that Esau was hungry, but he could not master his craving. It could not say, you know what, I'm hungry here, but I can't trade my birthright for just this plate of stew. I'm hungry here, I can go to my mother and find food to eat. Or I can take time to see what I can put some little bologna together and eat that bologna and wait. You know, as a Christian, you must understand that you must gain mastery over your craving. And you gain mastery over your craving, I believe, in two ways. First of all, by waiting on the timing of God. You know, that's the way to actually gain mastery. The ability to wait and trust God's timing. To know that God's time is the best. And if the craving becomes overwhelming, you have to learn to remove yourself from such allurement that it does not overwhelm you. That is why the Bible said flee. The reason the Bible calls us to flee is because the Bible understands that at times the cravings of our physical nature of our flesh is so powerful sometimes. It pulls us in like a magnet. But we got to flee from it. And fleeing from those things will help each one of us to overcome such craving. Listen to me, loved ones. If you don't master your cravings will master you. And when your cravings master you, you will become subjected to instant gratification. This is the second biblical truth I want to pull out from this narrative. You know, there is more to life than stuff. I'm talking here about material stuff. There is more to life than stuff. Watch this. When you focus on stuff, it is easy to believe that you are missing out on life. And this is often what propels people towards instant gratification. Again, watch what I'm saying this morning, loved ones. You know, it's so easy that when your focus is on stuff, let me give you an example. If you as a single, your focus is on getting married and you believe that you are missing out on life because you are not married, such focus will lead you to impulsive decisions that will come back and haunt you because you will just settle for anything. And you will instantly go for whatever you see because you believe you're missing out because your focus is on stuff. The same thing goes if you, as a person, would desire pleasure and seek pleasures of life. If that is your focus, that is going to be what moves you. Watch Esau here. Esau's focus was on the stew. But if for God, the life was more than just that pot of soup. If for God, that there was a greater blessing than that pot of soup. If for God, about his birthright and the great inheritance that was before him. You know what, as Christians, I encourage you, always look holistically at life before you make decisions. What do I mean by that? Always look at the big picture. Pray for God to give you the wisdom to see the big picture. Pray for God to let you understand that you're not always missing out on life because you don't have a car. You're not missing out on life because you don't have a house. You're not missing out on life because you don't have $1 million in your pocket. You are not missing out on life. There is a bigger story, other stuff in life, bigger than those things. And I believe when you as a Christian begin to look holistically, you will be able to master instant gratification and be able to delay gratification until the appropriate time. Number three principle this morning we want to glean from this narrative this. Instant gratification takes more from you than it gives to you. Again, I want you to write that down, loved ones. Instant gratification takes more from you than it gives to you. Yes, instant gratification can pacify your immediate needs. Absolutely. At the end of it, it gives you pleasure. But this is the key. While it might pacify your immediate need, at the end, it gives you more less than you anticipated. It gives you less. Take for example here. You choose to have sex before marriage and you fulfill your pleasure. That's instant gratification. You're just saying, Lord, I'm not listening to you. I don't believe in being celibate. I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy my life and have sex and enjoy this pleasure. I'm not married. I'm not in a covenant relationship. But at the end, you get pregnant. And the person that got you pregnant leaves you to take care of your child alone. You see that your instant gratification takes more from you than it gives to you. Or look at the instant that you decide to experiment with drugs and you take drugs and you get high and you feel good in your anus. But then over time, addiction sets in and your life is destroyed. Watch Esau in this story. Esau fulfilled his craving. He had the bread. He had the Lenten soup. He felt good for that day. His stomach felt good. He felt on top of the world after eating that lunch or that dinner. But then, his instant gratification took more from him than it gave to him. It took more from Esau. Because as the story unfolds years later, what Esau did at this particular time came back and became a reality. And Christians, listen to me this morning. You must understand that instant gratification takes more from you than it gives to you. You must say, Pastor Wally, listen, I just want to enjoy myself. I don't know what tomorrow holds. Yes, we don't know what tomorrow holds. That's in the hands of God. But be careful about instant gratification and the pleasure you just want to have now. Because if God does not take you tomorrow and you live for another 40 years, what is going to be the outcome of your life? This brings us to the last point this morning. The last biblical truth I want to draw from this narrative is this. The consequences of your action cannot be reversed. What do I mean by that? Watch Esau. For Esau, the moment he swore, the moment he sold his birthright, his future completely changed. That moment that he gave his word, his future completely changed. The consequences of his decision could not be reversed. And the same is true with you and I, isn't it? When we reject delayed gratification and embrace instant gratification, we will live with the consequences of our decision. And today, I believe there are many sitting in prison, in life imprisonment, looking at the wall of that prison, wishing they could go back to that moment when that instant desire stepped in, that moment that they didn't control their craving, that moment that they should have made a better choice, but they were unwilling to wait. And here they are in prison, sitting in prison for the rest of their lives at a young age. And they wish they could go back and take that moment back, but they cannot. Or look at some people today who are living with STD, sexually transmitted disease, because they just were unwilling to wait and delay gratification. And now they got this disease in their body that they got to live with for the rest of their life. Loved ones, I tender to you this morning. The choice is always yours, but you cannot control the consequences. That is why you need to understand that you can't rush through life. You need to understand that you can't take the remote control and fast forward your life. You need to go through the process. Whatever the process is, be patient, go through it. He who becomes patient or she who is patient reaps at the end of the road. And this morning, my prayer for you, loved ones, is that you don't fall victim to instant gratification, but you trust the Lord and wait upon the Lord. And those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Our Father and our God, this morning, O Father, we give thanks for the mercy that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for thy word. May thou, O Lord, now bless thy word. As it has been declared, may thy name be glorified. I commit both the declaration as well as the hearing into thy hands. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen.